Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Where we're moving on now.
Well, we haven't exactly moved up to a deluxe apartment, but we have moved, and we're not alone. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the next hour, we look at what's driving the many clubs opening and closing and moving around the city. And Vinicio Capossela is called the Italian Tom Waits. He'll join us to talk about his new album. But first, Soundcheck has moved to a swanky new studio, and we aren't the only ones moving on up. Williamsburg staple Galapagos is reopening in Dumbo. The old village gate is being replaced by Le Poisson Rouge. And Williamsburg's now-defunct Luna Lounge may be replaced by the Knitting Factory. What's driving all of these moves, and what does it mean for the music fan? Well, we'll join first Mike Wolf, the music editor of Time Out New York, to get the big picture. Mike, welcome back to Soundcheck and to our new studios.
Hey, John. Thanks for the invite. It's very nice here.
So the club scene here in New York is always in flux, always has
sure.
been, probably always will be. Is there anything new, anything special happening right now?
On a case-by-case basis, individual venues that are popping up and moving, those, you know, I'm sure we'll hear from Robert in a minute that, you know, there's always special things going on. But it's generally the same old story, money and real estate, following the trend of artists being shoved out of Manhattan and, you know, now even Williamsburg becoming a treacherous financial zone to survive, you know, to keep a business surviving in.
So that at least seems to be a kind of a time-honored engine driving the cultural experience in the clubs.
Maybe not honored, but yeah. I don't think it's going to end. I think it's always going to be that way, just like real estate in general in New York.
Okay. So last year, everyone was talking about, you know, the whole music, the club scene moving from Lower Manhattan, where even the Lower East Side had gotten a bit pricey, out to Brooklyn. Now we're seeing a move from Williamsburg, where a lot of these clubs set up, to even, you know, further out or closer to the water, you know. So is that a new trend?
It's definitely a new trend. I think something that, you know, music fans and even just fans of general culture and nightlife were always able to find concentrated areas of activity like the Lower East Side. And even, you know, people like to poo-poo Williamsburg, but that was one thing going for it. You could hit a lot of different places, you know, within walking distance. And now we have a lot of, you know, unique venues that are opening, like, you know, pockmarked all around the city and, you know, distant outposts. And it's great to go there, but if you're going there, that's your night. You can't really bounce around to a number of places.
But what about Manhattan? I mean, Le Poisson Rouge, new club that has opened up. And in a little while, we'll have a chance to speak with one of their founders, David Handler. You know, it clearly Manhattan's not dead.
Oh, no. But I'm interested to hear his take on it. It certainly is perilous. I mean, it's the Knitting Factory, which has been in its current location since the late 90s?
Yeah, and they started on Houston
Street,
and then they moved to Leonard Street, and now the rumor has it they'll be replacing the Luna Lounge in Williamsburg.
Right. I know they're losing their lease at the end of, I don't know if it's the end of next year, sometime in 2009, and, you know, maybe that's not the most convenient part of Manhattan, but it is near subway lines. It is, you know, you can reach it. The closer points of Brooklyn can get there, and I mean, if they're in Williamsburg, it'll still be very accessible, but you know, the number of vital clubs in Manhattan, you can now count them on one hand.
Well, there were more. Jean-Michel, leaving a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website, writing from Rockland County, says, "I miss the Wetlands and Coney Island High, two great clubs that have gone the way of the Dodo and CBGBs. Should have been preserved as New York City's own little rock and roll Hall of Fame." So CBGBs, which seemed like, you know, it was a sure thing. It had been there for decades, gone.
Yes.
Tonic, gone after many years of fighting the good fight in terms of presenting experimental and more progressive forms of music. Who's filling that void?
Well, Le Poisson Rouge certainly does aim to, as far as, you know, the early indications and the bookings they've had so far. For the caller or the writer in who's missing Wetlands, the good news is that the last owner of Wetlands, Peter Shapiro, is planning to open a new space in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg. sometime later this year that's, I think, in an old bowling alley. It's going to be called something brilliant, like Brooklyn Bowl. And, you know, the gimmicks are nice, but obviously, you know, you want to think first about music. You know, you want to have a place where the music is going to sound good, where the fans are treated, the fans and the musicians are treated well and respectfully, and, you know, a destination for music. And then the other, the add-ons are nice.
Right. But we're speaking with Mike Wolf, music editor of Time Out New York, about the music club shuffle going on here in New York. Marco Benevento from the Benevento Russo duo is one of the musicians who took advantage of Tonic to not only perform there, but actually to record a 3-record set there, live at Tonic, now departed. Although that those club owners are still on the scene and may be doing something in not too distant future as well. But here is Marco Benevento live at Tonic in a tune called The Arrival of Greatness. That is Marco Benevento, the keyboardist and composer, from a 3-CD set called, appropriately, Live at Tonic. All of the music recorded live at the club that used to be on the Lower East Side. We're talking about what's happening on the New York club scene, clubs moving, closing, opening. We've been speaking with Mike Wolf from Time Out New York, and also joining us here in our new studios on Varick Street, Robert Elms, the director of Galapagos. And Robert, the last time that you were on Soundcheck, this would have been a couple of years ago, you actually told us you were considering a move to Berlin.
To Berlin, we thought we could only find affordable cultural habitat in Berlin, and luckily we washed up on the shore of Dumbo. You know, thanks in large part to a real estate company called Two Trees, who helped us to move to Dumbo. And what they're effectively doing is sort of marrying cultural opportunity to a neighborhood, in a way that perhaps a city can do through tax incentives.
So they're trying to create in Dumbo a kind of arts community. I mean, the arts at St. Anne's is there, has been there for a couple of years mm-hmm. now. Yeah. You guys have moved in, Issue Project Room, currently in their second location in Brooklyn, moving in as well. Mm-hmm. So this is something that, you know, and Mike, you can talk to this as well, the sense of community. How important is it? How hard is it to get that?
Well,
and
I
then
think
keep
for
it.
New York, the danger right now is that culture, the irresistible force, has met real estate, the immovable object. And, you know, frankly, if push comes to shove, one is leaving the city and one isn't. And, you know, for cultural New York, the question is habitat. If the ecosystem doesn't include opportunity in its narrative, the young artists won't come to New York City. And without sort of a re-flourishing of the cultural habitat, the city begins to lose really the best and brightest that make up its meritocracy. Uh-huh. And they'll go to places as far as Berlin or Philadelphia or Pittsburgh to find opportunities. So the question really for the city is, how do you create venues and ground floor cultural infrastructure in a way that does create enough opportunity to keep the inflow of artists to our city?
So if you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
Well, you know what they call Berlin. It's the 19th borough of New York.
and then there is the whole Philly thing, you know, the sixth borough, and you know, it's just, it's all about where can you go, where can you get cheap digs,
right,
you know, and learn your craft while not going broke at the same time. Robert, you opened Galapagos in Williamsburg in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to open that club there today?
No, it wouldn't be possible. I mean, you know, we had to incubate our own idea to make it a valuable and seasoned idea, and that took us about 3 years before we were, frankly, sort of on our feet. And to open a space in New York City, especially one that's focused on incubating new and you know, emerging work, is to really have to hit the ground running within, say, 3 to 4 months, or you're going to go broke and, you know, trying to float your idea. And you know, this is the tragedy for New York, is that if you have venues that can't incubate work, they won't incubate work. And You know, then the cultural ecosystem doesn't have these new participants.
Well, it's funny you talk about hitting the ground running. I've mentioned Le Poisson Rouge, which hasn't even officially opened, but they've had their soft opening a couple of weeks ago. Mary, writing from downtown Manhattan, tells us, having been to Le Poisson Rouge twice in the past 2 weeks, I've got to say I couldn't be happier with the revival of the Gate venue, referring to the old Village Gate, which is where Le Poisson Rouge is. Great eclectic lineup. I went to see Soul Live and Ricky Lee Jones with the fab Petra Hayden. So they seem to have done, Robert, what you're talking about. They had a plan. They hit the ground running. Now, of course, they've got a splendid... They're on Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village. Mike Wolf, Time Out New York, how does that happen? We can talk to those guys, too. But
I haven't seen their books.
Yeah, but the fact that Manhattan still has, can be... You don't have to go to Berlin or even to Philly. You can still find an opportunity in Greenwich Village.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm interested in hearing, you know, what their thoughts are and how they're going to... I mean, I would think they have to be bringing in a steady amount of money to hold on to a place like that. It's very nice. The sound is, it's designed for sound. What will be interesting, you know, we compared their programming to Tonic, and I think what we lost with Tonic, not just a sense of, you know, a more vague sense of community, but it was a place people could go and just hang out. You didn't even have to pay the $6 or $8 or whatever to get in. People would just mill around, artists, ideas were exchanged, things would happen. And even if you had no idea what was going on that night, it was conveniently located and inexpensive enough, you could just casually drop by and be like, oh, I'm going to catch something interesting here. And we are running out of places where you can just drop in and expect to, you know, find some kind of energy.
Although the Living Room, celebrating its 10th anniversary, has been doing that on the Lower East Side for a number of years with its kind of circle of singer-songwriters.
Right. And right next door, the Cake Shop as well.
Mike Wolf is music editor of Time Out New York. Robert Elms is the director of Galapagos, moving to Dumbo into a splendid new space, which I want to ask you about, Robert, in a moment. But let's also we're also joined by David Handler. He is the founder and managing director of Le Poisson Rouge. David, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, John. It's a real pleasure to be here, especially on... what is a very important day for the station as well. Thanks very much for having me.
So I know I mangled your title there. It's managing member of Le Poisson Rouge.
Yeah, that's what's official.
Well, I'm not sure what that it even means, managing member.
I don't know, as long as it's the appropriate title and our attorney says that that's about the way it should sound.
Okay.
Founder is really more about the... my involvement in Le Poisson Rouge.
Right. Now, you and Justin Cantor, you're both... musicians still in your 20s, you have somehow managed to start a new club in Greenwich Village. And the question we're all asking, how can you afford that?
Well, John, we've really been very fortunate and, are very grateful for generous support of private investors who've really taken to our vision and our mission to really revive the symbiotic, what we consider a symbiotic relationship between art and revelry, and that is something that we have, again, the luxury and great privilege, and one that we don't take lightly at all, of realizing that vision. And
so art and revelry. So this is not an Apollonian kind of place. You're more on the Dionysian end of things.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, our feeling is that, those two have been divorced from one another only relatively recently in history, and that both are suffering from lack of contact with one another. As the feeling is that, conservatories and concert halls and museums, for that matter, are in real need of more spontaneity and are looking for it, and that nightlife, conversely, is really in need of more substance, and that those two need one another, and that it really is more native to both. They are more native to both than people realize or people are seeing in the nightlife landscape right now, or the concert landscape right now.
So we're talking about clubs, and we're talking mostly about clubs that, while they may be eclectic, are not sort of doing a heavy stream of classical performances.
Right.
Le Poisson Rouge, you are hoping that you can actually kind of make a place for classical music.
Absolutely.
On that scene. You told one reporter, and I'll quote you here, and alcohol is our patron. you wanna tell us what that means?
I think that part of our mission is, involves putting the art, and in this case, you know, in you know, with classical music in particular, putting it into a different context, one that a more visceral context, you know, the conceptually, the reason for doing that is because we feel like that's a more natural habitat has been the word that's been used quite a bit in terms of real estate and in terms of New York City. But, you know, in terms of a living, breathing environment to experience the art, I think that, you know, it is more visceral to do that in a bar setting, and I think more appropriate to, you know, particularly with classical music, it's, you know, reminiscent much more of what true chamber music can and should be, in my opinion. But one of the practical benefits or considerations with putting the arts in that environment is that we are looking for the bar crowd for that that environment to generate its own revenue as well,
right.
so that can become the means by which we're able to really experiment with our programming. And
so you're not relying as Carnegie Hall or Lincoln Center might on big patrons. I mean, basically, people come in, they have a couple of drinks, and that's going to enable you to keep the club open, pay the talent, etc. Ricky Lee Jones actually just finished a run at Le Poisson Rouge earlier this week, and we're told got the club's first standing ovation. Here she is. Ricky Lee Jones, lucky guy. She just finished performing at Le Poisson Rouge, new club at the old venue, the old site of the Village Gate. And on the line with us is David Handler, founder of Le Poisson Rouge, along with his cohort Justin Cantor. With me in the studio, Robert Elms, the director of Galapagos, a Williamsburg club now moving to Dumbo, and Mike Wolf from Time Out New York. Mike, you referred to David's club, Le Poisson Rouge, as being designed for sound, which would seem like an obvious thing if you're going to open a club, until you actually go to some of these clubs and you think, did anybody consider that music was going to be played here?
Right. It's like, let's look at this great room and, oh, yeah, let's put music in it. And then you put it in there and it's just like, wow, this is worse than not hearing music at all.
So let me ask you, Robert, with Galapagos moving to Dumbo, did you have an opportunity to do what Mike just said, to design the place for sound?
Yeah, we've you know, taken care to not make parallel walls and create standing waves and things to improve the acoustics as well. But the, you know, the main feature of what we're building there is that in Williamsburg we had a 300-square-foot pond, and we dragged that into the middle of the venue and made a 1,600-square-foot lake with island seating and a wraparound mezzanine.
Now, what does island seating mean?
Imagine if you felled a tree onto a lake, and the trunk would be sort of the winding walkway, and the branches would go out to seating islands. Essentially, that's sort of what we've designed. It's very sculptural. It's similar to the Williamsburg venue in that it's a sculpture that you, as you walk around, you engage it and see it from different points of view.
Now, does that affect the kind of artist that you can, I mean, for example, Halle, the Persian-American singer, is someone that you've presented in the Williamsburg place.
Yes.
Is she someone that would still find this a comfortable place for her and her audience?
She certainly would. And the, one of the main reasons that she would find it comfortable is there's not a pressure to sell a million tickets and a million beers. You know, we're in a real estate climate in an unusual one in Dumbo in that we can afford to do quality programming and survive because our rent isn't incredibly high. So really, I mean, this is the struggle for the city is, what does a venue pay in rent is really the question. Because for New York, the last 50 years, we've attracted the one smartest kid from everywhere. And the best artists follow ideas and the opportunity to realize them. And our job as cultural producers or leaders is not to be placeholders in the midst of what others have built, but to really create opportunity and help our city thrive in this time.
And if you can get a few laps in while you're listening to the music, all the better. Here's a little bit of music from Halle, the song called Hasty.
که تو را در خود تکرار در خود تکرار می کند به سهرگاه رستنهای ابدی می برد به سهرگاه رستنهای ابدی می برد تو را در خود تکرار در خود تکرار می کنم همه هستی من آیه تاریکی است که تو را در خود تکرار در خود تکرار می کنم به سهرگاه.
The singer is Halle. The song is Hasty. She has performed at Galapagos in their Williamsburg location. Robert Elms tells us that she'll be performing for them in their new location in Dumbo, opening when?
We'll be open this month, sometime in July. We think probably the third week in July.
David Handler at Le Poisson Rouge. You guys are officially opening in September, but you've been doing concerts for a couple of weeks, as we've seen.
Yeah.
And you're trying to, you know, we've had Simona Dinnerstein, the classical pianist, here prior to her performance at Le Poisson Rouge. We heard a little bit from Ricky Lee Jones. It's obviously a very eclectic programming lineup that you're putting together there. Is the audience there?
Yeah, we've certainly, well, I mean, easy for me to say now, but thus far, yes, they really have been, and we're obviously so appreciative of that. I mean, you know, you mentioned the Field of Dreams, you know, if you build it, will they come or they will come? I mean, it certainly, that is the hope. I mean, our feeling is that, you know, there aren't quite too many places or any really in the way that we intend to. That are juxtaposing or really, you know, co-presenting such a wide assemblage, such a diverse palette of music. I mean, Justin and myself are classical musicians, as you mentioned. We really, truly want to showcase as much classical as indie rock and electronica, as international music and singer-songwriters, jazz combos, and you know, I think with JVC. You know, we had
right. So, by I mean, the Village Gate, known as a jazz place, that gave you a little leg up with the JVC Jazz Festival.
And
it's
a very humbling experience to be on what we consider hallowed ground as musicians first, and club guys a very distant second. You know, to be in the space that inhabited. You know,
It is a storied location that you've got there, David. David Handler is founder and managing member of Le Poisson Rouge in Greenwich Village. Robert Elms, director of Galapagos, formerly of Williamsburg and soon in Dumbo. Mike Wolf, the music editor of Time Out New York, giving us the big picture. In the background, the band Dirty Projectors, one of a number of bands, Mike, that got its start in one of Todd P's shows, a guy who kind of does this guerrilla, you know, no fixed abode kind of thing.
Yep.
Will there be a place for the Todd P's of the world as the New York scene heads forward?
Absolutely, because the nature of what Todd P does is, whatever the circumstances, find a place. His shows are definitely for the more adventurous music goer, because you could arrive where you thought the show was going to be, and then for reasons, it's been moved.
Right.
And you're like, quick, how do I get from
it's
here to
like
there?
It's like a scavenger
that kind of
hunt
thing. Exactly.
With a band at the end.
Exactly. And that is part of the fun, that kind of environment.
All right, Mike, thank you. Robert, David, to the three of you, thanks
for
being with us here at our new digs.
Thanks, John.
On Soundcheck today. Coming up next are CD picks of the week. And then coming up later, if Tom Waits were Italian and played a toy piano, he might sound a bit like Vinicio Capossela. We'll talk to this eccentric and entertaining songwriter about his new album later on Soundcheck.
Non trattare, non trattare.